Thanks for tuning back in to season 2 of Branching Out, the Forest Podcast. It's great to have you with us again as we explore more forest science content. The podcast is brought to you by IUFRO, the International Union of Forest Research Organization, the global network of forest science cooperation. IUFRO is open to all individuals and organizations involved in forest research and forest-related science. Scientists cooperate in IUFRO voluntarily. IUFRO's field of scientific activity is spread over 9 divisions, and this is what we're covering on this season. These 9 divisions are silviculture, physiology and genetics, forest operations, engineering and management, forest assessment, modeling and management, forest products, social aspects of forests and forestry, forest health, and forest policy and economics. And then each of these divisions is broken into units that focus on specific aspects that fall under the divisional umbrella. And during the last board meeting in June 2024, just after the World Congress in Sweden, I hope, by the way, that you were able to participate, a new leadership model was adopted, and now each division has 2 co-coordinators to improve geographical and gender diversity and balance their work. And I'm Jose Bolaños from the IUFRO headquarters, your host. And to host with me, I brought somebody from the International Forest Student Association. Alex, please introduce yourself. Go ahead.
My name is Alexander Watson, or Alex for short. I'm the internal counselor at IPSA, overall communications and the capacity development teams. I also study at Göttingen in Germany and my master's in tropical forestry.
Thank you and welcome. And we have the 2 co-coordinators of Division 1 with us. And I'll ask you to briefly introduce yourself and describe your new roles in IUFRO. First, we start with Teresa.
Hello, Jose. And it's nice to see you and everybody here. To our listeners, my name is Teresa Fonseca. I am a professor of forest inventory and management at the University of Trás-os-Montes e Alto Douro. Our university is nestled in the beautiful northern region of Portugal, often called the Marvelous Kingdom by a celebrated national writer. Without wanting to turn this into a promotional moment, allow me to say that this area is home to UNESCO World Heritage Site, known for its stunning vineyard. I invite you all to come and enjoy the breathtaking views and savor the exquisite taste of port wine. As a professor dedicated to advancing forest science, I'm also honored to serve as the co-coordinator of Division 1 for IUFRO, along with Pilsana, where we focus on the vital field of silviculture.
Hello, my name is Pilsen Park. I am a professor of silviculture and forest ecology at Seoul National University, Korea. My school is located in a very busy city in Seoul and Korea. I'm a co-coordinator of IUFRO Division 1 Silviculture with Teresa. I started my job in June this year, and I've been a deputy coordinator for Division 1 for the last 10 years. And it's very honored to continue the work for Division 1. And you are all welcome to join Division 1. Thanks.
I will also take up both your offers to join Division 1 and to come to Portugal. Yeah. I was wondering, could you share a memorable experience or story from your work that had a significant impact on your research or maybe resulted in you joining IUFRO?
Best part of my job is that I can visit different types of forests, and also it's wonderful to see just amazing nature, and also I can do something to restore or conserve this forest and then try to work to maintain all this wonderful forest and forest structure.
Brilliant, thank you very much. And you, Teresa, do you have a memorable experience or significant impact that you would like to share with us?
One of the most memorable experiences I had was attending an exhibition in London. And it seems that it is not related to our talk today, but it is. And that the exhibition had a profound impact on me, both personally and professionally. The exhibit featured a room designed to resemble a classroom, with a teacher desk and several students' desks neatly arranged. What was truly striking and unforgettable was that the students' desks were actually cardboard boxes labeled with word fragile in red letters. And this comparison deeply resonated with me as it conveyed so simply yet so powerfully the immense responsibility of being a teacher or mentor or a leader. In such roles, people have the ability to make a difference and hopefully for the better by guiding individuals along a supportive path, empowering them and helping them to go further, achieving their dreams and goals. This also ties into my association with IUFRU, as I too had the opportunity to be guided on my path to IUFRU by people who believed in me, starting at my university and including researchers from Portugal and abroad. Within this important network, they facilitated my entry as a deputy coordinator around 17 years ago and encouraged me to take on other roles within the organization. Anyway, to cut a long story short, these are the people who inspire me, and that is the legacy I would like to pass on.
Those are two very beautiful pictures, the one with the forest that you created, Pilsen, and the one with the classroom that Teresa mentioned. And we go into this topic now specifically because as IUFRU being the global network for science cooperation, that means that it spans throughout multiple countries and regions. And before we go into a specific topic of CDB culture, I have a question on how can you, in this case, in these positions that you are, how can you facilitate collaboration among researchers, diverse backgrounds, with diverse resources and diverse expertise? How do you balance this out?
We can facilitate a collaboration among researchers by facilitating the organization of internal groups, such as research groups and working parties, with geographical and background diversity, gender balance, as well as the inclusion of junior scientists. Our own coordination structure reflects geographic and background diversity among our deputy coordinators, including Veronica, Linda, Sven, and Toshiaki, in addition to our own contribution, of course. So we are trying to encourage the IUFRU office holders to organize meetings and events that are open to all interested parties. Considering that not everyone has the same resources, an issue that can be at least partially be addressed through the organization of online meetings, so no one is left behind. So what we want to do is to put in practice the vision of IUFRU in terms of diversity.
Because we live in the 21st century, it's not like just only one country, it's a global era. So now I'm sitting in Asian continent and Teresa is in Europe, and then we are all different regions. And because it's global era, so I work in Asian region, but also I go to like Southeast Asian area countries, and I visit the America, Europe. Also, a lot of people in Europe work in African continents. So those kind of this global era really pushes us to strengthen the cooperation and collaboration globally. And also this all different environmental issues like climate crisis and also biodiversity issues. It's not only one region's problem. It's all like the international problem. So that makes us more strengthen our collaboration. And actually it required, it's necessary that we really have to work together. And then IUFRU is wonderful platform to widen our networking.
Amazing. Thank you very much both for your answers. Some very beautiful words and phrases in there, like inclusion and global era. So with this in mind, how can scientists participate in Division 1 at IUFRU?
Thank you for raising this question. Scientists can engage with Division 1 in several ways. I will list a few. By becoming an office holder and or subscribing to receive updates from the Division 1 mailing list. Also by participating in activities promoted by the division, expressing interest and becoming part of the division structure, such as serving as a deputy coordinator or a group coordinator, and also hosting activities supported by the division. For example, the Portuguese organization Centro Pinos facilitated the dissemination of scientific knowledge from the Working Part Ecology and Silviculture of Pine through a set of webinars that they designed and promoted in partnership. So there are a lot of ways that a scientist can participate in Division 1.
Also, if you visit the UFRO website, there is a calendar of events. And you can see a lot of the scientific meetings or seminars or different meetings are going on. And then there are people who host the UFRO events. And then you can contact them or you can participate in all the meetings. And then also you can like talk to the people. And also if you just look at the list of the structure, you can see all the different like research groups and working parties that you are interested in.
And this is important because most of the contacts will be listed somewhere in the website, being that of divisions, working groups, or etc. Now, I think Pilsum already mentioned what Division 1 is about. I just want to make it clear that Division 1 is called silviculture. And silviculture dates back to the origins of forest science, at least in Western Europe, with the term having to say something around the lines of something that Pilsum already mentioned as well, which is caring of the forest, which in turn involves cultivation and management of the forest, right? If we go back to 1992, when IUFRO was celebrating the 100th anniversary, the anniversary publication mentions topics like conversion of monocultures to mixed stands and provenance trials, and this is still ongoing topics. And also, on the last season, we heard about robustness and resilience of forests with Jean-Peter Skagar. So if you want to complement this episode, you can also go back to the first season on episode 2. And I have a question specifically, now sitting from the perspective of silviculture. How has the field evolved in recent years in the context of this twin crisis that you mentioned, Pilsum, climate change on the one hand and biodiversity loss?
Silviculture started from producing timbers, but also we basically the thing silviculture do is establishing forests. So in the forest, the dominant species is trees. And then we plant trees, grow trees, maintain forest, and a lot of environmental problems is caused by the decrease in forest. So this is what silviculture has been doing so far. And now people are asking questions about what climate change is gonna make this earth would be, what the biodiversity crisis. So now it's era of forest restoration. And when you talk about forest restoration, it's like the silviculture technique would be the core techniques to restore forest. Like we have to decide what kind of stage of forest we would like to aim for, what species, what forest structure, what stand structure. So silviculture started from timber production, but now I think silviculture is more focusing on providing ecosystem services like water, clean air, and those things. So there are more requirements or more demand for silviculture technique.
I agree with what Pilsen said. I would like also to add that, for instance, in our division, some challenges have prompted specific meetings and also the creation of new groups inside. I would like to mention some of them. Formation of the research group about ecology and silviculture of mixed forests. Also the working parties of ecology and silviculture of chestnut and ecology and silviculture of subtropical forests. And also, for example, a working party about phytotechnologies. And phytotechnologies, in a sense, refer to the use of plants for the remediation of environmental contamination.
We hear a lot about the doom and gloom, but the era of forest restoration is brings a great image to my mind. So in the vein of evolution, talking about evolution, it's full of like minor but significant moments from the daily grind to eureka. So I was wondering if you could both share with us some of the most significant findings or breakthroughs that have emerged through Division One research, like these working groups you were talking about.
Because science is not isolated, we cannot isolate the silviculture from the other parts. So this is very important and reflects on the advances. So maybe it is not just one big advancement in silviculture.
Now, we don't just work for timber, but we also have to work with productivity, but also the ecosystem services, and also there are the people. So these are the big three parts that I think the silviculture is facing now. And also, when I think back, the involvement of Southeast Asian countries, like tropical countries, has increased. A couple of decades ago, it was more like some people from temperate region. But these days, we had much more colleagues working in tropics.
This is important because we started talking about diversity. So this is actually what we're here for, right? And you mentioned the element of people as well. And the next question is related to people, because when I'm writing the script for this podcast and when I'm trying to think what questions could I ask that will be meaningful for the people who are here in that podcast, how can people, how can the public support what we're talking here? So in this case, silviculture, how do people get in touch with that?
I completely agree on bringing the science to the public. And I have always appreciated the IUFRO motto, interconnecting forest, science and people. It is everything there. So, but how can we implement this? So maybe we could invite those that are listening to us to get in touch with us and sign up for our mailing list to share the ideas and thoughts. What are the concerns that they have? Are there any aspects we might be overlooking that could be improved through better communication? We would like to engage more with people, and in case they would like to contact us, they are very welcome.
Sometimes I get complaints that the terminology in silviculture is too difficult. When you say regeneration or direct 3D or site preparation, people don't have no idea what we are talking about. And also because more people live in urban area, they're more far away from forest. So they kind of not really familiar with terminologies and those things. And I think that's what we still have to work harder to make people understand. And some people still think that silviculture is about just producing timber. But we work in plantations because we need wood. But I think we more people in silviculture work to restore forest or conserve forest. And also we work in a lot of like environmental issues. So the thing we have to put more effort is that silviculture is not only for timber.
I love that some of your significant moments are more to do with people and collaboration rather than the research. And this brings to mind something one of my professors always says, which is forests aren't just about trees, they are about people, which always really stuck with me. Moving on from the past, I'd like to talk a little bit about the future and the outlook. What are the next big questions or challenges in silviculture that Division One is really eager to tackle?
One of the challenges we face today, and it was already referred, is climate change and its impact on the world. It affects forests, which in turn affects people's lives. Another challenge was also mentioned by Pilsen, to ensure that future forests meet the growing global demand, not only in terms of provision, but other ecosystem services. Another topic that I would say is artificial intelligence and how we can integrate it into silviculture to improve forest and landscape planning and management, taking into account the unique characteristic of each forest system, management objectives and risks. And I think it will be a very valuable support In addition, I would say that research should focus on or result in social benefits, including forest education, that is very important, and improved communication of research results that it was already mentioned today. And there is another thing that I would like to add to this, that is important to provide people with access to accurate information, not only information, but accurate, and time for reflection before taking action. I feel this in my life. It seems that we are always running from one thing to other thing. There are a lot of information that appears, and sometimes we need to have time to understand that type of information and after to take action. These are some of my ideas in terms of big questions or challenges.
Think that the amount of information that one has to deal with every day is just overwhelming, just to put it lightly. And I will stay with Pilsen because I know that there's going to be a conference in Korea in next year in September, and the conference is Climate Crisis, Conifer Forests at Risk. Could you tell us a little bit of what we can expect from that?
Yes, it'll be held in Jeju Island. That is the southern end of Korea. It's going to be in the third week of September. So the people really worry about maintaining forest there. So they decided to hold a big conference and then get together experts in the world who worry about conifer crisis. So they would get all the information and exchange what happened in other regions and then try to find a solution to conserve and then protect those trees, especially in the conifers, because you can see the conifer in the top mountain and also the conifers in the near the ocean, near the sea. So all different types of conifers.
Coming out of IFSA, I would love to join IUFRO. I was just wondering, for you, what does it take to be successful in an organization like IUFRO?
IUFRO is the organization, and the people in IUFRO are all work for forest. We try to make, conserve, protect, and then use forest. So IUFRO is all about forest and people. And so we have the common goals, common mission, and then we try to contribute our research capacity to society. IUFRO has been doing that job so far more than 100 years. So I think it's the key of IUFRO. And then IUFRO, and another big part of IUFRO is networking, because the people are all over the world.
IUFRO is building a solid foundation for a better future, not just forests, because forests are very important, but also affect people and also biodiversity. And IUFRO has a very, very fundamental role in this issue.
The key message is get involved, be positive, and work for people and forests.
Sounds like a very good wrap-up message. I had another one just that I thought of, like to encourage people to our audience to learn about the management of their local forests, consider the stories that each of these forests hold, right? And with that, I'd like to thank our panelists here today. Alex, excellent job, and thank you to Teresa and Pilsum. And also, I'd like to thank our listeners. Look out for our next Branching Out, where we explore the second division of IUFRO. If you want to know more about IUFRO, follow our social media or click on the link on the show notes. And thank you very much to the three of you for being here.
Thank you, Jose, for inviting us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.